Franzen. A White House meeting today between congressional leaders and President Biden working to avoid a partial government shutdown. The deadline this Friday, House Speaker Mike Johnson called talks productive, but still wants to tie U.S. border funding to a spending bill and the foreign aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. France says it's open to sending French troops to Ukraine. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby, when asked, says the U.S. is not weighing that option.
We'll let President Macron speak for his military and what he is or is not willing to do with his troops. The president's been clear. He does not support U.S. troops involved in this conflict in Ukraine.
Polls are open for a few more hours in Michigan. Voters are casting ballots in the presidential primaries. Some voters say they may put down uncommitted to send President Biden a message that they want a ceasefire in Gaza. The president says he's hopeful a brokered deal can be reached by next week. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A pair of redistricting experts is billing the state $128,000 for the work they did for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. About half of the bill will be paid by taxpayers. The rest will be covered by the six parties in the case, including three groups funded by private lawyers. The case was effectively closed when Governor Evers enacted new maps last week. Black History Month is winding down, and black leaders in Wisconsin say they're dismayed by the recent rhetoric over diversity, equity, and inclusion. State Representative Lakeisha Myers says civil rights protections are the law for good reason.
So people can get their work done and not be harassed, intimidated, actually have the ability to be hired in certain jobs.
Myers speaking to the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Channel. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Green Bay School Board looks a little different after its only person of color resigned her position Saturday. Laura Layton Warren said in a statement on her Facebook page that she wants to spend time and energy in areas where she can have a more impactful role in effecting positive change in the community. In the meantime, dozens of concerned citizens encouraged the Green Bay School Board to reinstate Claude Tiller Jr. as superintendent during an open forum last night. Matt Freilich says that he feels the board's commitment to diversity is negotiable.
It's not hard. It's really not hard. It's just a bunch of people that want to hear their voice heard and not have six people stand up here that look nothing like them.
Tiller resigned after being put on administrative leave while the board reviewed his appearance and comments on an Atlanta radio show. The school board did meet in closed session before the open forum to discuss hiring an interim superintendent. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS WGBW News.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Badgers take on Indiana. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, Wisconsin on the road against the Indiana Hoosiers. The Badgers trying to climb back into the AP Top 25. Marquette's now ranked fifth in the nation after their wins over DePaul and Xavier. In the Big Ten, the Badgers' Greg Gard says any team can be dangerous right now.
I mean, just look at Ohio State, you know, was left for dead 2 weeks ago. Now they beat Purdue and Michigan State in the span of a week. So the parity, as I keep saying, and is pretty evident, not only, you know, in our league, but across the country.
Baseball, the Brewers lost to the Reds 8-3 yesterday in Arizona. Tomorrow they'll face the Cubs and Craig Counsell. So many new players on the Brewers roster, but Christian Yelich says,
I definitely think we're going to be a competitive team this year. You know, even when we've been good the last few years, like, no one ever picks us to be good, you know, just because, you know, we're the Brewers and it is what it is.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny skies with record-breaking highs as we soar into the low 60s. Winds start to become feisty tonight, gusting up to 35 miles per hour. With snow starting tonight, we'll likely wake up to an inch on the ground tomorrow morning and then battling the blustery cold. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning, weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, I'm calling this one Never Surrender Tuesday edition. Welcome to it, buddy.
Hey, man. Good to see you, but I've been seeing you for days, man. Happy to be here in the studios at WAUK. Nate, working the board, of course. You can join us on the lines anytime with your political party, 844-967-2789.
Tom, Michigan, they're at the polls. Polls are open right now. They're voting. We were in Michigan. And then you said we had to get up super early to drive back.
I said it, yes. Well, you know, I love getting up early. Come on, we had to do the thing with Maggie Dawn, man.
I did more driving today by 1 o'clock in the afternoon than most people will do all week, Tom. I drove through three of this nation's greatest cities. Detroit started with the morning rush hour traffic. We're on the road by 7 o'clock central time, 8 o'clock local time. And then Chi-Town, man, drove through Chicago today. Actually, we did the 294 around, right? And then Milwaukee. And I had to dump you at the new place.
Yeah, take a shower.
You had to take a shower?
Oh, yeah, well, you forgot about Gary, Indiana, man. You know, Mike Pence country.
All four of the nation's greatest Midwestern cities.
Gotta be careful through Gary, man. That's not a legal weed state.
You know, there was, yeah, Pence country down there.
Pence country.
And we will set aside the thought that, you know, by virtue of the fact that we've crossed three or four state lines, now we may have made ourselves felons today. But, you know, we leave that for the Jindal Branchens of the world.
She does it so well.
So let's talk about what the former president sent to me today. Oh, Trump, I'm referencing Trump.
Wow. I mean, you're very, very important. It would have been nice if Nikki Haley told you she was in Troy on Sunday night. That would have been nice.
Is Trump in Michigan? Trump's not there,
no,
right?
No.
We're not there, so Trump's not there. Michael Kroot's got both my first and last name, my Christian name. The polls in Michigan are open, all caps, exclamation point. But before they close, I'm asking my strongest supporters to answer this one question. Are you voting for me again? I am not. The liars in the liberal media are saying we aren't doing well in the primaries. Now, we'll discuss that. I think we're the very liars in the liberal media he refers to.
Yeah, I kind of take a little offense to that, Michael.
So before the polls close, I need you to prove them wrong. Please answer now. We will make America great again. Thank you. Donald Trump, 45th president of the United States. I think we're up to 46 now, right?
Is he asking you to vote in Michigan, Crody?
He doesn't specifically say you must vote in Michigan.
All right, but he's asking you for money.
Well, at the bottom, there is the ongoing plea for me to get the Trump Never Surrender 2024 gold card.
Whoa, man.
Limited edition metal. What? Metal. M-E-T-A-L. Metal.
Metal.
Trump cards. You got the black one with the Donald Trump mugshot on it. It looks very much like the mugshot. And it says, John Smith, card holder. They didn't put my name on that card.
No.
They did have my proper given name on the address of the email. And then there's the Trump 2024 ballot defender platinum level. Oh, they didn't offer me platinum, just the gold level, never surrender 2024 gold level. $47 to get that little metallic piece of worthless crap.
For $47, but then you're part of a very exclusive club. No, that does not come.
I don't want to join a cult.
What about the sneakers, man? No sneaker offer.
Oh, the sneakers are substantially more expensive than that.
Oh, okay.
Trump's sneakers. So anyways, I got that from the former president because the polls are open in Michigan. And as we found, Dom, and we went out for dinner with some locals last night, some friends of yours, perhaps friends of mine now. And not a damn one of them knew it was primary day in Wisconsin. Or, pardon me, Michigan. They live in Michigan. They didn't know.
No, they did not know.
Today was the day to vote. And we talked about the fact, even the people we met on the street, all either very coy about their voting preferences, or just the skosh embarrassed that maybe they didn't know it was election day. And there were only two clear exceptions to my perception of all the people we met.
Yeah.
It wasn't hundreds, but you know, dozen or more, but only two of them very clearly understood the civic process. They were Mayor Pro Temp Cousin Nancy. And what'd Nancy tell us? Oh, I already voted. I
early
voted
voting.
Absentee for the very first time. Michigan's allowing this to happen, right, Tom?
Dude, I didn't even know. And I was actually surprised when I saw the headline over at CBS. Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson said, voters turn out in record numbers ahead of primary. Well, perhaps because they weren't able to do it before. This is the first time early voting is available in Michigan. Michigan voters received 9 days to vote early and in person. This was approved by voters under Proposal 2 in 2022.
The Arab American gentleman that was at the Cadillac Square Diner sat at the table next to us, and we did ask if they would be interviewed on camera. They didn't want to be a participant on that level. But the one guy said, I didn't know it was a primary tomorrow. Yeah. And the other guy, who declined to speak to us, but then started educating his friends immediately. That guy, what he had also early voted, right, Don?
Yes, yes.
So I think the more sophisticated Michiganders,
you're tuned in, you probably already early voted. As of early voting on, at the end of early voting Monday, over 78,000 Michigan residents voted in person at the early voting sites, and 934,478 voters turned in their absentee ballots to their local clerk's office.
Almost a million.
Yeah, over a million.
And a meaningless primary, effectively a meaningless primary, at least on the Democratic side. Well, draw your own conclusions. There's only a little bit of drama going on in Michigan today. And here are the points of contention. Will Donald Trump run away with it? You know, because the liberal media says he's not doing so great. In fact, Robert Reich earlier today had a similar notion, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go there next. But that's on the ballot. He is going against Nikki Haley. And as pointed out, Nikki Haley got about 40% in South Carolina. He got about 60%. And a lot of Nikki Haley's supporters, and we did the math, now we suspect it's about 25% of the entire Republican electorate that is convinced they're not going to vote for Donald Trump. And we don't know what the numbers are going to look like coming out of Michigan today. But despite all the claims in the media that Trump's doing so well, Dom, maybe not. Maybe less well. Maybe he's sort of staggering to the nomination. I mean, it's rigged for him. Trump's absolutely going to be the nominee. He's winning. But is this what one would expect from the incumbent Republican former president, the head of the party? He runs the machinations of the RNC, man. He's got his daughter-in-law co-chair in that place.
If you have all the power and have been pushing your mega philosophy and pushing all your Republicans out, and you're only able to garner 60% of the vote in South Carolina, was that 60-40? Yeah, 60%.
So, just under 60.
So,
but yes.
Yeah, so
we're 40, rounding it to 60.
We're rounding up to 60. Nice, easy numbers. That's not great. And I've seen some of the articles, you know, if Biden rolled in and only got 60% of the Democratic vote in one of these primaries, you know, the media would be and Trump and all the Republicans would be all over. It's all over for Joe Biden. He only got 60%, but Donald Trump gets 60%. And we're supposed to think that's a good thing.
Tom, let me share a little bit of Robert Reich, a little of this commentary. Look closer. Trump's reelection campaign is in dire straits. He's never surrendering, though.
Disarray!
A little bit. Don't fall for the media hoopla. In fact, Donald Trump is doing extraordinarily poorly in the Republican primaries and caucuses. In Saturday's South Carolina Republican primary, he pulled in just 59.8% of the vote. So we talked about Haley got just under 40%. If Joe Biden had gotten under 60% of the vote in the Democratic primary, the mainstream media would declare his reelection campaign in dire straits. Trump's re-election campaign, according to Robert Reich, is in dire straits. He goes on to tell the story of Patrick Buchanan. 1992, he won 40% of the vote in the New Hampshire primary, holding George H.W. Bush to 58%, almost exactly what Haley did to Trump on Saturday. The New York Times treated the outcome as a huge problem for Bush with the headline, "Bush jarred in first primary," followed by a story characterizing the result as a roar of anger towards Bush from the Republican primary voters. A roar of anger, Dom. Well, South Carolina's result was just as much a roar of anger from Republican primary voters towards Trump. And South Carolina is about as deep red as it gets. What about New Hampshire? Trump got 54.3% of the vote. Haley, 43.2%. In Iowa, Trump got just 56,000 votes. There's over 2 million registered voters in Iowa. Hence, fewer than 3% of Iowans voted for him, Dom.
Curdy, the pertinent question isn't whether Trump has the nomination sewn up. It's how strongly Republican voters are behind him. What we've learned from the caucuses and primaries so far is that maybe 60% of Republicans are solidly behind him. For a party incumbent running for re-election, 60% support by his party is pathetic, revealing a remarkable degree of anti-Trump sentiment among Republicans. According to exit polls in South Carolina, Trump lost moderate voters to Haley by a wide margin. According to AP VoteCast, a bit over 1 in 5 Republican primary voters in South Carolina said they would not vote for Trump in November if he's the party's nominee.
Never surrender. It's a Never Surrender Tuesday edition. We drove back. We're here. We're in the WAUK studios. Did a little simulcast with our friend Maggie Dawn. Thank you. The Maggie Dawn Show. What a fine lead-in we have now. Looking forward to more fine lead-ins, more simulcasting with Maggie and your phone calls as well. This Never Surrender Tuesday edition. Dom and Crute, we're back. We're back, baby. Back in Wisconsin, the motherland. 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Wayne, shopping for a new door? Do you need something more dependable?
Yes, something that's durable, dent-resistant, knows how to take a hit, and is going to last for years.
We're still talking about the door, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Of course.
Wayne Larrabee and Jeff Levering shopping together at Pella? What next? How about 0% interest for up to 3 years? Or no money down, no interest, and no payments for up to 18 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details. Conference 2024.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can call us at 844-967-2789 or just pick up the super cool Civic Media app. You can press a button and call or text that same number automatically. And, of course, you can listen to us anywhere on the Civic Media Network. Check it out, your favorite app store.
Dominic, the other question in the great state of Michigan, there. Apparently open for their primary, although many have early voted for the very first time. State of Michigan allowing early voting, nine days allocated.
Imagine we make it easier for people to go vote. More people actually go engage. I mean, if someone, we just told someone yesterday, oh my God, or today, you got to vote today. I can't do it. But if you know it's on and you have 9 days that, you know, get your life in order.
Oh, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Then you can perhaps, you know, make it work. Like, I went to go vote. I couldn't vote that because I wasn't registered at my new location. Yeah, so, but if you give people notice and they have time to do it, then they'll be more engaging and more apt to go vote. And that's perhaps why the Republicans are not real fond of the whole early voting thing.
Well, my understanding, polls close at 8 o'clock Michigan time. They're on the Eastern time zone, so that would be 7 o'clock Central after we're off the air. And we'll see if Trump can do better than a 20-point lead as the incumbent head of the Republican Party, or if he's going to continue to drag ass through the primaries and win by, what, elimination?
But
rigging of the primary process, because it is pretty rigged for the incumbent former president. I mean, the Republicans want to choose this guy. He set up all the machinations so they almost have to choose this guy.
His will is being imposed upon the process and structure of the Republican Party.
Yes.
So, of course, the machinations of the administration is leading that way because Trump wants it that way. I mean, that's what that influence will certainly do. But to the point, to Robert Reich's point, Trump's reelection campaign in dire straits. Another headline on this very topic in this regard over at the Daily Beast, Matt Lewis, Trump's dominance, quote unquote, of the primary GOP is an illusion. I want to throw this out there a little bit, kind of support the same narrative we're talking about. As they write, specifically, are the media guilty of judging Biden more harshly than Trump when it comes to things like verbal gaffes and general lack of popularity? That's the narrative that Matt Lewis keeps seeing from liberals and Democrats on social media. As Paul Glastris, editor of the Washington Monthly, complained recently in his quote, if Trump wins South Carolina by 70%, the media will say, crushing victory. If Biden wins Michigan by 80%, it'll be a catastrophic underperformance. See how we're doing this here? And when the Carolina votes came in, Trump garnered, as mentioned, 60%, and he lost nearly 40% of the Republican primary voters in a deep red state. Now, certainly, South Carolina is an open primary, meaning Democrats and independents can vote as long as they didn't vote in the Democratic primary. But here's the point. Most mainstream media types wouldn't be writing Biden's political obituary and demanding he drop out for the good of the party if he turned in a similar performance. Yet, despite being the former president who was effectively running in the GOP primary as an incumbent, Trump somehow continues to enjoy the rewards of the soft bigotry of low expectations.
The soft bigotry of low expectations.
And despite...
I love it, Robert.
All right. Still, despite benefiting from this double standard, the South Carolina results, particularly when you delve into the exit polls, have exposed some of Trump's vulnerabilities, and more media outlets are starting to catch on. And here's where we get to the meat. MSNBC's Morning Joe opened its Monday show with this point. Apparently, Lewis was a guest. Likewise, Drudge, you know, I go to Drudge, the aggregate grader, occasionally. The Drudge Report headline on Monday morning blared, 40% Republicans vote against Trump in South Carolina. Demographic warning signs, divided party. drug Drudge's headline linked to reports to The Hill, Axios, and The Wall Street Journal, all buttressing the argument that losing nearly 40% of the vote should be interpreted as a five-alarm fire. And here's some more of that math. It's even worse for Trump than that. A Fox News voter analysis showed 59% of Haley voters in South Carolina said they would not support Trump in the general if he were the nominee. And if you think this is unique to South Carolina, consider the fact that nearly half of Nikki's Iowa backers said they wouldn't support Trump in November. So that's those are the numbers. And I don't know how you win with those kind of numbers.
He's bleeding off the base.
Well, and again, if independents and Democrats
were jumping into that,
that could certainly skew the numbers. We'll have to see. And we know lots of folks will say they're not going to vote for Trump, but they'll eventually come around and vote for Trump. But he's not going to get them all. He's not going to get them all.
One of the couples we went to dinner last night, they were both strongly supportive of Trump, yet were blissfully unaware of the fact that it was the primary day in their state today. Today was primary day, and neither, you know, at least predicated on the trajectory of the evening, seemed like they were going to get up early and go vote this morning.
Did not get that impression.
Nor I. So I don't know how strong his foothold. I do know that he's done pretty well in the polling head-to-head. Trump in the state of Michigan specifically, and I know that Trump did win Michigan in 16. Obviously, Biden recaptured Michigan, 150,000 votes. It was not that close last time through. But the only other drama in the Michigan primary, Never Surrender Tuesday edition, is what's happening over on the Democratic side. And it's not the Dean Phillips campaign. I don't know if you noticed, I put up like last Friday when he blew out most of his campaign staff.
Yeah, it's over.
I'm not raising enough money to run this sort of campaign I would like to. So he hasn't suspended the campaign. He just fired all the campaign staffers.
Come on, man. Okay, what's the drama on the Dem side? Because there's drama on the Republican side because they have two Republican parties. They're having two conventions.
Don't confuse the people, but that's true. If you're unaware, Michigan is having two Republican conventions next week because they can't decide who's in charge of the Republican Party.
It's so strange to me.
Well, let's talk about the Dems.
Okay.
The drama on the Democratic side is whether or not people are going to vote for Joe Biden. That would be the expected. There's really no other candidates viably on the ballot. Or whether people will choose to do the anti-Nikki Haley thing like they did in Nevada while
none
of
the above.
During the primary.
None of the candidates.
While the option on the Democratic primary ballot would be uncommitted to any of the candidates. And this effort's being led by elected Dems. Rashida Tlaib says she was proud to vote uncommitted in the Michigan primary. So here's where the drama comes in. There is an effort to perhaps embarrass President Joe Biden with this uncommitted effort to show enough significant number to say, hey, look, especially Arab Americans living in Michigan, that's a big population, Muslims, that if this is your policy on Gaza, you could lose this many voters. And if it's a substantial number, what do you say? Something like a million people have already early voted.
Yeah.
Now, not necessarily all on the Democratic side, but you know, Trump has been claiming you can't early vote. It's rigged. So I can't imagine those are entirely Trump voters, right? Got to think a lot of those people came out to A, either support their president, Joe Biden, met a guy, Nick, in Cadillac Square. That was seemingly his inclination.
Yeah.
Or this effort, uncommitted. Well, Dom, when we come back, I'm going to tell you. Primaries are for protests, baby. If you're going to do this, now is the time to do it. If you want to take your pot shots because you don't like the man's Gaza policy, well, Michigan, do it today. Do it during the primary. I give you permission. And hell, Wisconsin listeners, your turn's coming. April 2nd, that'll be our primary. You can either go support the president, go support Trump's cult, or you can do some sort of protest action. And I will permit you to do that.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
I give you permission, but only in the primary. Come back with us. Devil's Advocates live in the Shaw at WAUK. More of us, more of you on the phones as well.
And
join this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Much of southern Wisconsin is going on a wild weather ride today, starting with possible record high temperatures, then snow, strong storms, and bitter cold. Today starts as mild as yesterday. High temperatures should reach the 60s and even the low 70s. Things take a turn starting at about 6 o'clock tonight with a chance of severe weather. 413 high school students will get hands-on training in four new possible career paths this year. Business administration and education were added to the Wisconsin Youth Apprenticeship Program last fall. Students take 1 or 2 years to take classes about their chosen field while getting experience outside the classroom. More than 8,000 students signed up for apprenticeships in Wisconsin last school year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The search for a missing toddler in Manitowoc County is entering week two. Two Rivers Police Department, along with state and federal agencies, are searching waterways and landfills. Officials say they'll continue to follow up on tips and leads 24 hours a day in the search for the 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Officials also warn about third-party scams and people seeking money or personal information from the people who are touched by the tragedy. Elijah was reported missing on February 20th. Katrina Bauer, who is the mother of 3-year-old Elijah, was formally charged with child neglect and two charges of obstruction Monday in Manitowoc County Court. Jesse Vang, who prosecutors said had the boy for, quote, disciplinary reasons, has also been formally charged with child neglect. Preliminary hearings for both have been set for March 7th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS WGBW News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
With a 60-second showbiz beat, Bob Marley One Love dominated the box office for a second weekend in a row. The film pulled in $14 million over the weekend and totals $71 million overall. Reviews were lukewarm, but that's not stopping people from checking out the legendary reggae singer. Meanwhile, Ethan Coen's effort without his brother Joel, Drive Away Dolls, finished in a disappointing 8th place behind Wonka, a film that has been in theaters for almost 3 months. And in Now You've Ruined It news, Gwen Stefani says she can no longer listen to No Doubt songs and that doing so makes her want to throw up in her mouth. She is now married to country singer Blake Shelton, but says the old songs remind her of past relationships, which include a former bandmate and Gavin Rossdale from Bush, with whom she has 3 children. Shelton must be flattered he doesn't make his wife hurl in her own mouth yet. Don't worry, folks. Stefani says she still absolutely loves performing the songs live. Cha-ching. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny skies with record-breaking highs as we soar into the low 60s. Winds start to become feisty tonight, gusting up to 35 miles per hour. With snow starting tonight, we'll likely wake up to an inch on the ground tomorrow morning and then battling the blustery cold. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
I was toting my pack along.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
With a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to win a muckamac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We Never Surrender Tuesday edition started bright and early this morning in Detroit, Michigan, across four states, so we could be on the radio with you today. You know, that's dedication. I hope they appreciate we're trying hard today, Dom.
Well, Wisconsin is four states, man.
Well, we're in the fourth of four states. Yes. Four-state journey.
Yeah, man.
WAUK Studios. I still got to drive home tonight, but we appreciate you being a part of this show. And the only drama happening in Michigan at this moment.
Well, I mean, on the Dem side.
On the Dem side.
Yeah, because there's a lot of Republican drama.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to some more of the Republican drama. But the question of whether or not to support President Biden or this effort afoot to perhaps embarrass the president from the progressive wing of the Democratic base.
I mean, embarrass or just prove a point? I mean, I don't know what. Why do you think embarrassing?
Well, you go put a big enough number on the board against the president.
It kind of proves the point, right? So, I mean, this isn't about, you know, making the man seem like an old man and doing old man jokes. This is about a very specific policy that they object to.
Yes. It's not doing old man jokes.
Exactly.
I was proud today to walk in, I quote Rashida Tlaib, Democratic congressperson from Michigan. I was proud today to walk in and pull a Democratic ballot and vote uncommitted. We must protect our democracy. We must make sure that our government is about us, about the people, she said in a video she shared. I've seen some of the video, Dom. When 74% of Democrats in Michigan support a ceasefire, yet President Biden is not hearing us, this is the way we can use our democracy to say, listen, listen to Michigan. Listen to Michigan is urging voters in the Great Lakes state to vote for an uncommitted option on the presidential primary ballot to send Biden a message of upset over the administration's actions surrounding the Israel-Hamas war. And the campaign wants to demonstrate our political power and discontent through the primary protest votes in order to make Biden feel more at risk of losing Michigan in the general election, prompting a potential reassessment of his financing and backing of Israel's war in Gaza, according to the site. And Biden is facing growing anger from progressives over the ongoing conflict in Gaza. And the campaign has seen warning signs in its reception from Michigan's significant Arab American communities ahead of Tuesday. That's today's primary, Dom. And polling shows Biden with a massive lead over his long shot challenger in the state's Democratic race. And he's still expected to win Tuesday, even with the uncommitted push. But enough protest votes could signal problems for him as the general election draws nearer. What do you think, Dom?
I mean, I get the
primaries
point.
Are for protest, baby.
I mean, I get the point. You know, they're working on, apparently, there's some headway being made for a ceasefire. I mean, that's what the president said. I believe it was late yesterday, and there's some more reporting on that today. Now, where that ends up, who knows? I mean, obviously, efforts are being made. And granted, there's a huge Arab American population there. I mean, Dearborn. I understand that. Is it going to work? I mean, we're talking about it. So in that sense, but you know, these things take time. So I don't know that I would. If you're going to do it, now's the time, I guess. But I don't know that it makes a whole lot of sense. And we'll see how it turns out.
When would you possibly bring this to the president's attention? Not during your state's presidential primary vote.
The way anyone brings anything to attention, you go and you lobby it. You send your letters. You do your thing.
Are you a billionaire, man? You got money to be lobbying?
Come on, man. There's all sorts of organizations and groups who are already certainly doing that. I just don't know that this is going to have any real effect. And what if it comes out and it's a miserable turnout for uncommitted? I mean, does that just boost his current position? I mean, what if you don't get what you think you're going to get? What if people really don't?
I'm not sure how Joe could be much more pro-Israel. So I'm not sure how it would boost his current position because he's already all in on his.
No, I get that. But from
trying to move him off that. An embarrassing low turnout may not be convincing, but now is the time, man. The primary is for protest. And I would say that to our friends in Michigan or our friends in Wisconsin.
If you make this effort, no one turns out, or very few people, you don't go with
what if a really large number of people turn out to send this message?
Okay, that'd be one thing. But if you're going to take that position and say, this is our strategy, if a really low number of people turn out, are you then essentially giving a green light for the current policies? Because then your message is not catching on.
True.
I mean, that's the risk you take.
The risk they took. And they are either galvanizing support in Michigan today, either they're going to see a substantial number of people trying to send this message to Biden. And again, if you're going to do it, primary day is the day to do it. That's how you send a protest vote. But come this fall, Biden or bust, baby. Because the alternative is chaos, right?
But if you're a single issue voter and this is something, I mean, you think you're going to get that? I mean, I hear what you're saying now. Crudy gives permission to your protest vote.
Well,
but now they already voted once against Biden. They voted for something other than Joe Biden. And now they're going to do it a second time. You think they're going to come back around if they have this effort and they don't get what they want? You think this is going to? You think they're going to show up? I don't think they will. I think this.
I didn't vote for Joe Biden in the primary, and I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton in the primary. But I did find myself voting. Unlike someone I know, voted for both of those Democratic nominees when the time came, when the rubber hits the road.
Well, if you think that Israel is exercising genocide in Gaza and you blame the Democratic president for the funding, going along with the Republicans in encouraging that essentially and allowing that to happen with American tax dollars, I'm not clear that's something that you're just going to get over. I mean, genocide's it's a big deal, man.
Oh, I think so.
You know what I mean? That's why
I bring this effort to the attention of the audience.
But you're getting them used to not supporting, you're encouraging as Democrats, as the party, as those 30 elected officials, Rashida Tlaib, you're getting them used to going against the unity that you need in the Democratic Party in order to defeat Trump. And this
in the primary.
Yeah, but
so
what makes you think they're going to come back, dude?
Because the alternative is Donald Trump, first and foremost. I think it is possible that some that would feel this strongly would, perhaps not vote in the fall. I could see that.
Yeah.
So motivated
right.
to send this message.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is no change of policy, it could be off-putting to them and they don't vote in the fall. That's what they're warning Biden. That's hence the protest, hence the uncommitted vote. But do it now. Protest now. If you're not going to vote for Biden in the fall, I can't control that. And I'm not worried about voting patterns being set. As I pointed out to you, I've never picked a primary winner that became the nominee. I'm always a little left of the handpicked eventual nominee of the party. I've always been to the left of that person, at least during the recent voting cycles. So I still come back. I still vote. And the sort of people that are this politically plugged in, right? The sort of people that would actually go out there and do a protest. Yeah, man, they're going to still be activated in the fall, hopefully to vote for Joe Biden because they've moved him. 844-967-2789. Dom, have we moved our electorate?
Now let's find out. 844-96-PARTY Dick from Madison. You're up. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Dick.
Hey, guys. Hey, Crude, are you saying that if I'm going to go and watch the ponies run, I shouldn't necessarily go with you to pick the winners? but anyway, as I see this whole thing unfold in the last 2-3 weeks, everything the media is doing is trying to make this look like a horse race, and I think Biden's slaughtering them. First of all, last week, 200,000 small donors gone. I know a lot of people that
Trump lost 200,000. Yeah, Trump had like 700,000 small donors. He's down to like five and change.
And I consider that big. Then you got his daughter-in-law that's going to take over the RNC, and she's going to just pilfer all the money and funnel it to his legal problems. I mean, at a point, I think these people
might
get it.
Every good organization does, Dick.
If you're associated with the Trump organization, that's what you do. What does that do to the down ticket spending, though, Dick?
That's what I'm saying. They're literally destroying what's left of this party, and I don't see it any other way. And by the way, Biden, you know, is trying to broker something, and I knew when this thing started on October 7th, that when you put your foot in the water with Netanyahu, it's going to be trouble. You know, I'm not saying you abandon Israel. That's not my point. But this guy is every bit as big a criminal and crook as Trump is.
Yeah.
And dealing with him is a really hard thing to do. Yes. Yes.
So, Dick, what do you think? Are you for or against the protest vote?
I guess I'm not. I'm against it, and here's why. Are you really going to vote for the guy come fall too that wants to throw you out of the country?
Talking about Trump again.
Yeah.
Meaning Arab or Muslim Americans, Trump would want to exorcise you from our country, but you know I'm sure he's going to get lots of support from that electorate.
Thanks for the call, Dick. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton, you're next. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cindy.
Oh, I am just a little bit off topic here, but I just wanted to let you know, if you're not aware, that there's going to be a national rally with the Poor People's Campaign this weekend on Saturday, and they will be marching in Madison from 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
Are they gonna go up State Street? Are we going to see them march past the studios?
I don't know. I don't really honestly know what the route is. I'm assuming it's just around the Capitol itself. But, you know, I just thought I'd throw that out for anybody that might be interested. If you want to meet at the Capitol steps at 10:30, the rally starts at 11, goes till 2, and it's Madison Capitol, the Poor People's Campaign. They're rallying for all kinds of things, healthcare, climate change, rights to working and fair pay and housing and you name it.
Right on, Cindy. When is that again?
Saturday.
Saturday. All right.
Saturday,
Cindy.
2nd of March. Yep.
Weather's supposed to be nice, too. So we got that going for
us. All right. On topic.
Which is nice.
On topic, Cindy. Michigan has their primary today. This effort afoot to vote uncommitted. Obviously, there's a couple of sides to this thought. Want to know what your thought is.
Uncommitted to Biden? I'm kind of uncommitted, yes.
And is it because of the Gaza policy? Would you take a specific protest action to try and prompt Biden perhaps to take a different position, Cindy? Or are you just kind of off of Biden?
Well, I'm not happy with what's going on with the war and with Ukraine. I'm really upset about that. I'm upset about some of his policies with climate stuff. I'm just upset about the fact that the Democrat, and it's not really him so much, it's just the DNC, I think could have come up with a better candidate. I just don't like the fact that he's so old. He's not going to make it through another term. I'm just turned off by these two old white guys running for another term. It just...
Cindy, are you involved in the Wisconsin Democratic Party? Are you a paying dues member?
$25.
Carrying member for the last 42 years.
Well done. And do you feel like your voice is being heard within the organization, at least locally here?
No.
And what do you think needs to happen for your voice to be heard, in your opinion?
Well, I'll tell you something. They are all turning into kind of a centrist kind of people, because all the galas I'm coming to over the next couple of months are all in the $50 to $100 range. That's not working man's affordability.
Cindy, appreciate your call. You can always join us, 844-967-2789. But I've got a headline that's going to depress a few. Stop fantasizing and deal with reality. It's going to be Biden against Trump.
Oh, come on.
Margaret Sullivan opines. Perhaps we'll share a little of this more of your opinions as well. 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a primary Tuesday in Michigan. I want to get your thoughts. Some of the Democrats up there have a little protest vote against President Joe Biden voting uncommitted in the primary. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think that's a bad idea? You know, what do you think? We want to know. Tim from Eau Claire, you're next. What do you got for us?
Welcome, Tim.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. You know, I get really tired of these people saying, well, Biden's too old, he ain't going to make it through. Well, that's what you got the vice president for. She's a younger person, and she'd probably be the first woman president of color. So, you know, get over it. Trump wasn't, they'll say, oh, she's not qualified. Well, Trump wasn't qualified either. So she's just as qualified as him.
Nobody's really qualified to be the president.
I mean, you kind of, learn on the job?
Learn on the job.
Hey, thanks for the call, Tim. A good point. Yes, of course. And I like the vice president. I think she's smart. I think she's strong. I think she's been underutilized.
Those of us that have met Kamala Harris up close and personal, she is a very intense human being. Yeah. One of the most intense humans I've ever met. She just giggles and laughs and word salads. My ass, you ever met the woman? If she was front and center, if she was out there on the, and we're going to see her more and more on the campaign.
Right, as time goes on.
I got to see her not more than a month ago in Milwaukee, man. She's really good.
Yeah.
And she's underutilized, but now's her time.
So
it's her time.
Worst case scenario.
It's her time down here, Dom.
Goonies. Something unfortunate happens. You know, guys, President Biden passes away or becomes incapacitated.
Not Michelle Obama. She doesn't leapfrog into the vice presidency like many Republicans would speculate.
I think Tim has a great point, and people kind of sometimes forget about that. 844-967.
I wonder if Tim was listening on the tap.
2789.
93.5 FM, the tap, Eau Claire.
Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome, Mark. What do you got?
Yeah, thanks, guys. And I think, that Biden needs to, he's trying to get Netanyahu to hold back on his, assault on Gaza, but it's a, horrible situation over there. But getting back to something you're talking about earlier, with Fani Willis and the whole prosecution down there in Georgia, well, maybe Fani Willis should just share all the information that she's got, that
Russian hackers might do that for us, as far as I can tell. But please continue, Mark.
Send it up to Michigan, send it here to Wisconsin, every place that's prosecuting or maybe prosecuting the fake electors, that whole conspiracy there. So then it gets spread out. I mean, good old cheese bro. I mean, it turns out he was lying. He perjured himself in his plea agreement, and his ass should just get pitched right in jail right now. That along with the Mr. Roman, who brought out the information on Fani Willis, I mean, the guy's just trying to goof up the prosecution of him. These guys are all guilty as can be, and we all know it, and it's all a major violation of the as I get tired of talking about it, but 14.2 of the Constitution, that we the people are the ones that are supposed to select the electors, not the legislature like they're trying to do down in Arizona. Where
the legislature just says,
well, just do it.
They were just confused. They were duped by the president and his high-powered attorneys, and they were scared.
I'm an old man.
There was fear. Thanks for the call, Mark, 844-967-2789.
All these Republicans that would be so critical of Biden's memory lapses, oh, but they're all so fearful of, what, Trump supporters?
Well, or they're so gullible, right? We're to believe that
or their memory has failed them completely.
Right. It's
very
just,
convenient.
None of it passes a smell test at all. Not the Andrew Hit 60 Minutes interview, not the Cheese Bro. Of course, finding out now that he lied and he actually did have a social media account, that he was saying things that he contradicted in his sworn testimony. So, it's just a continuation of the same story. They're not credible. They lack the character, and they continue to try to downplay their efforts to, come on, folks, overthrow the government.
Hurts me a little to read this text from Paul in Monona. He writes, "I agree with Tom. No time for us all going our own ways." Lisa Joe says, "Nobody's opinion on how I or anyone else votes matters. Thinking that vote shaming helps your cause is a huge mistake."
Yes.
Here's one more on the WMDX line. Texter from the 920. "What I don't get is during the NPR report, the outstate union worker said they were thinking about voting for Trump because of Biden's policies on Gaza and Ukraine. Ukraine is defending itself. Gaza is defenseless. How does their reasoning match up? And these are Dems. Workers, please stop listening to right-wing radio to and from work and Fox at night and listen to the Civic Media app instead."
Ooh.
Starting with the Devil's Advocates, yeah. I would recommend. and then Catherine liked the Maggie crossover. So there's a vote for more Maggie as well.
All right. Everyone wants more Maggie. 844-967-2789. More Dave from Madison. Dave, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Excellent.
First of all, Gaza is not defenseless. They've exacted a huge toll in Israeli casualties. Anyway, the reason I called,
hang on, Dave. I mean, obviously, there's women, like thousands of women and children dying as well. So certainly, you know, the Hamas and the fighters, you know, they have weapons, but there's a lot of women and children dying too, Dave.
I know there's about 30,000 Hamas fighters, but you're talking about the Hamas health authority. That's where these numbers come from.
Oh,
and they
you're
do
right.
not include, they do not include the casualties, which Israel estimates to be about 12,000. Hamas casualties. And by the way, you know, the ratio, they're in a really dense area. Well, I have two things to say. The first thing is, this didn't happen in a vacuum. There's a context. For decades now, Hamas has been perpetrating these attacks, not on the scale and with the success, I don't know if that's the word, that they perpetrated the one on October 7th, but they've been doing this for decades. And Israel has gone into Gaza, and each time and time again, the United States and the world community has stopped it. Now, Israel, this one, I guess, was the last straw, and they decided to eradicate Hamas. But, you know, if they don't, it's going to happen again and again and again. Hamas spokespeople.
But, Dave, when you talk about eradicating a people, that's genocide, man. You're talking about elimination of a people. And I get it. Hamas is an organization.
Hello?
Yes. Real quick, Dave. We got about 30 seconds.
Based on what you infer that I ever said elimination of a people, this is not genocide. They're not trying to eliminate a people. They're trying to
eradication,
eliminate the terrorism.
Sir, was your term. That was the word you used, Dave. That led me to believe you wanted to eradicate the people.
No.
Yeah,
I never
go
said
to the
that.
Tape, buddy. Dave, maybe you didn't mean to say that, but that was the word you used. Come back. Four Devil's Advocates, a happier, happy hour. We'll split.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world,
We are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Hey, it's producer Amanda. Michael Bailey and Kevin Van Es join the guys on Wednesday morning to talk about their show at the Meyer Theater. Mino and the Mayor, 6 to 8 on WISS and WGBW.
Say it with me, the Boxing Six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Michigan, polls will close in a few hours with voters casting ballots in both the GOP and Democratic presidential